This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
All right, let's talk, shall we, about the system, the military specifically, the communists' control. Let's have a little chat here on a Monday, wishing everybody a very happy Cinco de Mayo. So first, remember that the communist believes in controlling everything. Everything has to be controlled. That's the only way you can sell the misery and destruction that he's trying to sell. You have to control what people can see, what people can hear, what people can say, where people can go. But it's all about control, all right? You have to get that about these people to get anything else. That's one. Two, they don't look at institutions the way you look at institutions. And if you think they do, if you find yourself saying or even thinking things like, well, we all want the same things in the end, you've already lost. Honestly, you're completely useless. If you think like that, you start out in such a poor direction that you can never get back on the right road. The road is heading that way. And if you say, well, we all kind of want the same things, you're heading that way and we'll never meet. You're gone. All right? Get it through your head. They don't look at institutions the way you look at institutions. For instance, the United States military. You see, the United States military has roughly 3 million people. It's less than that, but not much less. 2.8, give or take. But 2.8 million people in the United States military. Now, when you think about the military, what do you think about? You think about bravery, courage, defending the country. When there's a veteran introduced at the local baseball game, you stand up, don't you? Probably take off your hat, salute, say hi, woo, love you, respect you. That's how you think of the military. You look at people, Army, Navy, Marine Corps. You look at these people and you think to yourself, wow, that's really cool. They're giving up pieces of themselves, putting their life on the line, defend all the things you think about the military. The communist doesn't think any of those things at all. None, zero, zip. To the communist, he sees 3 million people who can be controlled. 3 million government employees, but not just government employees in the military, they have to do what they're told. They have to sit and listen when you talk. They have to speak the way you want them to speak. The communists views the American military as a gigantic opportunity. A gigantic opportunity to control 3 million people, a gigantic opportunity to control vast quantities of money and power. So back to kind of what I talked about in the beginning, you can always tell what the communist cares about. It's what makes him squeal the loudest. There's a couple things that you should probably put in your back pocket that the communists have really, really pitched a fit about. I would almost say three big things since Trump won the election. The first one of those things was Matt Gaetz becoming attorney general. That was just a bridge too far. I'll tell you what, we'll come back to that one. Second thing has been illegal immigration, mass deportation. Why do you think that is? Everything else Donald Trump is doing, but the American media is really concerned about illegals being deported. And third, Pete Hegseth. They can't get enough of trashing Pete Hegseth. Every single day, all day, Hegseth this, Hegseth that, Hegseth this. This is not some one 24-hour storyline. This is very clearly something they are hot on. Trump just sat down with Kristen Welker for some strange reason. Here's how it went.
Are you looking for a new Secretary of Defense?
No, not even a little bit, no. Pete's going to be great.
His job is safe right now?
We're doing a fantastic job against the Houthis, who like blowing ships up and watching them sink in the ocean. We're hitting them very hard. No, he's doing a very good job.
His job is safe right now?
Totally safe.
Yeah. We see what she's doing. You're not naive. I see it. You see it. But let's set aside the job he's doing for a moment and have a very, very sober, very real conversation. When I was just talking about the military a couple minutes ago and I said, you know, 3 million people under communist control and all that, did you think I was talking about past tense things? That's how it used to be. Now it used to be this way, but now Trump's in charge. Now Pete Hegseth has taken over. Now we got things squared away. Did you think that Dick Levine and all his little dicks are gone?
Hello, I'm Admiral Rachel Levine. Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of Black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans to live in areas and housing that increase their susceptibility to climate-related health issues. And 65% of Black Americans report feeling anxious about climate change's impact. Through our Office of Climate Change and Health Equity and the Office of Environmental Justice, we're working with providers and community leaders to identify innovative approaches that empower communities to address the health consequences linked to climate change.
Oh, I know Dick Levine personally is gone, but I wasn't talking about past tense when it comes to the military. Guys like that have been put into place for about 15 years now, 15, 20 years now. The American communist has been putting little dicks like that all over the United States military, top to bottom. Generals, admirals, NCOs, staff NCOs, a 3 million-person army. I know it's more than just the army, but a 3 million-person army with communism buried, rooted into every single solitary part of it. Did you think it was just the media out for Hegseth? The Defense Department's out for Hegseth? They're now running stories with all kinds of anonymous sources about Hegseth can't do this, Hegseth can't do that. I am here to talk to you about something very, very frank. The state of the United States military is frightening beyond belief. There is more clean out necessary there than you can possibly fathom. And it makes things like this, when Trump talks about this in the budget, it makes me worry.
We have great things happening with our military. We also essentially approved a budget, which is in the facility. You'll like to hear this, of $1 trillion. And nobody's seen anything like it. We have to build our military, and we're very cost conscious, but the military is something that we have to build, and we have to be strong, because you got a lot of bad forces out there now. So we're going to be approving a budget, and I'm proud to say, actually, the biggest one we've ever done for the military.
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and trash Trump for what he's doing, because I understand he has borders on an impossible situation, you see. He has to clean out these organizations while at the same time run these organizations. We have to protect American power worldwide. I understand all that. But handing the United States military $1 trillion is like handing a heroin addict $10,000. It's only going to go towards bad things. We are in a crisis situation in the military currently. Remember when Mike Benz came on the show, talked about it?
Oh, it's super nasty, and I am very reticent about a $1 trillion Pentagon budget. If you're going to do something like that, do it in year two after you've got a massive reorg at the Pentagon that shows reform at a fundamental level. I would like to see the Pentagon come out and match the State Department's reorganization project and say that they've cut 150 agencies. The fact is the Pentagon is where the real money is. This is a massive, massive problem. And by some counts, the street reported a $35 trillion accounting black hole in the Pentagon back in 2020. If those numbers are true, that would be larger than the entire U.S. national debt, just with the amount of money that's gone missing from the Pentagon.
Back to what we were talking about at the beginning. Why is it that there are three really big things the communists are focused on? They wanted to stop Matt Gaetz, and they did. Now we have Pam Bondi. Things have been moving slow at the Justice Department, right? Anyway, moving on past that. They want to keep all the illegals here. Weird how committed they are to that. And they want the head of Pete Hegseth. Now, let me just piggyback this with a little story from the State Department. State Department analyst under Joe Biden, $650,000 in fraud in a two-year span. $650,000. Pleaded guilty. $650,000. That's at the State Department. Now, I want you to think for a moment about the State Department's budget. The numbers don't matter, so forget about that. Forget about the numbers. Let's use a visual representation. That's the State Department's budget. That's the budget of the United States military. One person was writing themselves checks for $650,000. Do you have any earthly idea how many criminals are currently being paid by the United States military? And it's not waste. Stop letting them get away with that. Theft. The largest criminal organization on the planet is the United States government, and maybe the most sinister part of that organization is the United States military as of right now. Why do you think they want Hegseth gone so badly? Why do you think they're so concerned with that? The communist tells you what he truly fears. He tells you all the time. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. I love sleeping. Sleeping's one of my favorite things. There's just nothing that quite beats. Well, here's why. It's about setting the tone. I love setting the tone. You know, you got date night with the wife. Pay her a compliment right when you see her. It sets the right tone for the evening. Waking up in the morning knowing you had a good night's sleep sets the tone for the day. Everything you face that day gets easier and better. That's why I love Dream Powder from Beam, because I never have to wonder if I'm going to feel like that the next day. It's a cup of hot chocolate. It's delicious. Mine is cinnamon chocolate, only it has natural things in it that will put you to sleep. And when you wake up, not heavy, not groggy, not miserable, energized and ready to go. You want to try it? Up to 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Again, natural things. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Let's have a kind of back to the basics chat, shall we, before we get to what Pete Hegseth is doing, why it's so important. And Trump yesterday, he signed an executive order. And the executive order wasn't majorly important as far as tangibly doing anything, really. It was an executive order to say, hey, the day we won World War I, it's a big deal, and we should celebrate that. That should be a holiday. The day we won World War II, that's kind of a big deal, and it should be a holiday, national holiday. I love that he put in there, we don't need any days off, we already have too many holidays, but should be a day we celebrate. So why even bring this up at all? Because it wasn't that major. Well, it was the left's reaction to it. And what we're about to talk about may seem very basic, and if you're where you need to be, it will be very basic. If you're not where you need to be, you won't like it. It'll probably make you uncomfortable. But accepting what the motivation of Democrats today is everything. Know thy enemy, if you will. Knowing what they truly want is everything. And look, in life, period, when you go out for a date, if you're single and you're out there dating, it's important. It's important to understand what do you want? What are your motivations? Just looking for a good time at a Red Lobster on a Friday night? Looking to settle down and get somebody, you know, a wedding ring, a child? What's their motivation? Does it match yours? Understanding motivations are important. Democrats hate the United States of America, and they want to destroy it. I can't put it any more frankly than that. And until you get to that place of understanding, you'll always be lost. You'll always be shocked. You'll wake up every day and you'll look at the news. What are they? I can't believe that. Do you ever find yourself saying that? Do you say that a lot? I can't believe they. Why can't you believe it? What would you do if you hated the country? Do you remember a few years ago when this Mara Gray went on MSNBC and she said this about the flag?
Long Island this weekend, visiting a really dear friend. And I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with, explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, yep. Trump yep. flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country.
I'm glad we dug that up, because I wanted to talk to you about what we're discussing here. How I came to this realization, because I was once one of those very naive people who believe that the people on the left, they're just kind of misguided. We all want the same things, that lame thing. I used to think like that too. Well, we all kind of want the same things. They're just kind of naive, or they don't understand. They don't understand that taking away guns will increase violent crime. They don't understand that opening up the border will actually destroy the country. I made all these excuses. But it was that conversation that Mara Gray just had. I had it with so many. And the conversation usually went something like this. They were starting to sprinkle politics into professional sports, TV commercials, things like that. Companies were starting to take always left-wing political stances. I started pitching a fit about it, because this is back when I was super into sports. Can I just watch the NFL game without all this politics? And every Democrat I knew, every one of them, said, politics have always been in the NFL. What's your problem? And I would, of course, ask, why? How do you figure that? They would say, well, they always have the military there. They always play the national anthem there. Now think about that for a moment. The United States military is partisan. Not partisan to me. Shouldn't be. It's a big organization full of people who are willing to lay down their lives for defense of America. Not political. Well, in the eyes of somebody who hates America, the organization dedicated to protecting America is very, very political. You see? That's how this works. That brings me to what Pete Hegseth did. He just announced 20% cut across the board of 4-stars, generals and admirals. Now, you should understand, we have more 4-stars today than we had during World War II. We have this because the United States military is a corrupt criminal organization, a good old boy network, where evil, corrupt scumbags promote each other all the time, reward each other with generous gifts. They bounce back and forth from being 3-stars and 4-stars into working at the defense industry for $1 million a year. It's a really terrible system. Here was Pete talking about it.
We are leaving wokeness and weakness behind. No more pronouns, no more climate change obsession, no more emergency vaccine mandates, no more dudes in dresses. We're done with that. We're focused on lethality, meritocracy, accountability, standards, and readiness.
That's magnificent. But you can't do that without cleaning out the communist rot at the top. And so they're starting to chop away at the top. But that brings me back to a conversation we've had many times, and we'll have it again right now. Why did the system try so hard to stop Pete Hegseth? And why are they still trying so hard to stop Pete Hegseth? In fact, let's not even do the system part. Let's talk about our role in this, your role and my role. I'm talking about our role as people on the right. Because the left, Democrats, elected Democrats, they don't actually have the power to stop really much at all right now. Yet some things are getting stopped. Pete Hegseth almost had his nomination withdrawn. We had to bully Joni Ernst into backing off. But there was one senator from the very red state now of North Carolina, Tom Tillis is his name. And he was working very hard behind the scenes to torpedo Pete Hegseth. Now, keep in mind, North Carolina could have the reddest Republican humanly possible. Instead, they have Tom Tillis. And it's funny, Tom Tillis is in the news because Tom Tillis is also the one out there blocking Ed Martin. Yes, that's right. You see, he's already announced he wouldn't support him.
He is, I don't believe he's being advanced to the markup, and I met with Mr. Martin. He seems like a good man. Most of my concerns related to January 6th. And he built a compelling case on some of the 15, 12 prosecutions that were probably heat of the moment, bad decisions. But where we probably have a difference is I think anybody that breached the perimeter should have been in prison for some period of time. Whether it's 30 days or 3 years is debatable, but I have no tolerance for anybody who entered the building on January the 6th, and that's probably where most of the friction was. If Mr. Martin were being put forth as a U.S. attorney for any district except the district where January 6th happened, the protest happened, I'd probably support him. But not in this district. At this point, I've indicated to the White House I wouldn't support his nomination.
Has Trump called you that?
Mr. President, and I talk all the time.
Does that make you angry? Do keep in mind that Ed Martin taking over the D.C. district is pretty much the most important thing Trump wants to do. That district is full of communist snakes who've attacked the American people with a vigor over the last 4 years, throwing as many of them as they could in prison. Ed Martin's going to go in there and clean it out. And that's why people like Tom Tillis, red state Republicans, step up and stop it. Whenever we're right on the cusp of a really, really important victory, we'll flirt with important victories, we'll do a little of this, little of that, but when we're on the cusp of something tangible, something lasting, it's red state Republicans that step in and stop it. It's always John Cornyn. It's always James Lankford, Tom Tillis, Cassidy, Thune, Rounds, Unit Curtis, you name it. Red state after red state after red state. So my point in this little rant is it comes back to you and me. Changing our voting behavior in primaries and changing the voter behavior of the people we know, because we can't get long-lasting, tangible wins with these losers in there. And speaking of Lankford, let's talk really briefly here before we wrap this up about immigration. Because again, the communists hate the country, as we just talked about. They're bringing in as many foreigners as humanly possible. If you look at the television set and you look at people like Ilhan Omar saying like this and you're mortified, you should understand that we have, in a roundabout way, people like this sitting in Congress because of red state Republicans.
Congresswoman Omar, I'm Miles Morrell with the Daily Caller News Foundation. Do you think more of your Democratic colleagues should be traveling to El Salvador to advocate on behalf of Rodrigo Garcia?
I think you should.
I'm sorry, what, Congresswoman? Who should?
You.
Why me?
We're not taking any questions right now, but here you go.
Thanks.
I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country, because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country.
You angry that she's in Congress? She's in Congress because for decades, the United States of America has allowed the mass importation of barbarians from foreign lands. And now communist activists can show up from those foreign lands and get elected to Congress and then use their position in Congress to subvert and destroy the United States of America. And if you're upset about that mass importation, you should understand it doesn't happen without red state Republicans. James Lankford, just last year, from the reddest state in the union, Oklahoma, tried to get amnesty passed with the Democrats. That's why you have Ilhan Omar and her like in Congress. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. I love feeling good all the time. I love feeling full of energy all the time. And here's what we all do. We all reach for what? Another cup of coffee, an energy drink, God forbid, or something like that. Why do we do this all the time? Because we want to feel full of energy, good, excited about work or play or whatever is next. Why don't you get rid of all that stuff? I'm not saying stop drinking coffee. I still drink it, but get rid of the necessity for it and just feel good naturally. That's what Chalk will do for you. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Male vitality stacks and female vitality stacks. Or maybe you don't want to go with the stack route. Try this. Just try this for 3 months. Get some Chalk lit powder, and in the morning, glass of milk or a smoothie, just mix some chocolate powder in there, vitamins and minerals, packed full of it. You'll feel so good. You want to join me in that? Chalk.com/JesseTV gets you a big fat discount. All right. Let's talk about the latest and greatest and worst about the FBI, DOJ, and all that. Because, look, Pam Bondi, Attorney General Pam Bondi, did come out and made an announcement today about arrests of a bunch of pedos. Here she was.
Today, we are proud to announce the results of the FBI's Operation Restore Justice Initiative. This historic, unprecedented nationwide operation led to the arrest of 205 child sex predators. Unbelievable. In just 5 days.
Okay. Well, that's obviously a good thing. 205 monsters taken off the streets, always a good thing. Cash Patel got up, he talked about it.
I also want to just take a moment to emphasize the priority of this Department of Justice and this FBI. Our children. If you harm our children, you will be given no sanctuary. There is no place we will not come to hunt you down. There is no place we will not look for you. And there is no cage we will not put you in should you do harm to our children. The prioritization of this administration and General Bondi has made it abundantly clear to child predators. You will be hunted down and you will be prosecuted.
It's hard to complain about predators being taken off the streets, and I am not complaining about it. It's a good thing. Also, let's understand the game that's being played. You can argue that it has to be played, but Cash Patel went before committee today and asked for $10 billion for the FBI. The FBI, in fact, I'll read you this text message I got from a FBI special agent. So how about that? FYI, the FBI bragging about arresting child predators is a rebrand. They do this every year. They just change the name of the program to play the conservative media. Used to be called Operation Cross Country. It was done for 20 plus years. That's verbatim. I just read it off my phone. I'm not complaining about the arrest of a bunch of child sex predators. Good, throw them in the middle of the Pacific Ocean for all I care with a bunch of shark chum around them. That all sounds great to me. And I'm not genuinely complaining about Bondi or Cash Patel. I am, however, very wary right now. I'm wary of being played. We've had this conversation before. It's not that I feel like we're being played. I'm worried we're being played. I want child sex predators arrested as fast as humanly possible. But that's not the top priority right now for me. Saving the country involves arresting FBI agents, politicians, bureaucrats across the federal government. It's what we need. We need the Epstein people exposed. Exposed. Pam Bondi talked about this.
The FBI, they're reviewing, there are tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children or child. And there are hundreds of victims. And no one victim will ever get released. It's just the volume, and that's what they're going through right now. The FBI is diligently going through that. I haven't seen that statement, but I'll call him later and find out.
FBI is diligently going through it. That is interesting because the FBI is the one who covered it up. I mean, you remember the FBI raided Jeffrey Epstein's New York home. Jeffrey Epstein was famous for videotaping everything. I know. But during that raid, they found a drawer with a bunch of home videos, DVDs, bunches of them. You can go look at a picture of it. It's on the internet. The FBI decided they weren't going to take anything in the drawer. The agent in charge, well, I mean, we can't take that stuff. They were ordered later to go back and get the video. The videos had all been removed, of course, by the Epstein people. But you want me to believe that same FBI, same agents, they're now digging into it, diligently just going after it, same way they went after Larry Nassar. I mean, look, James Comer came out. He flat out thinks things have been destroyed.
I hope James has the Epstein files, because I don't think the Department of Justice has them, or at least the Attorney General does not have them, or she would have turned them over. The President ordered them released. The Attorney General ordered them released. We all know they have not been released. And one of my biggest fears that I had, and I expressed this with, was Kash Patel and a lot of people, Stephen Miller, and a lot of people going into the to the new administration. I'm like, you know, I hope they're not shredding documents right now. This was a few weeks before the transition. I said, I hope they're not shredding documents. But you all need to go on that first day and try to get all this stuff released, because, you know, my fear is from what I've dealt with in investigations and in communication with this deep state apparatus, is they're probably in there shredding documents as we speak.
The criminals inside the federal government are destroying evidence. There's a reason a paper shredder truck parked out in front of the DOJ before Donald Trump got sworn in. There's a reason the DC swamp delayed Kash Patel's confirmation as long as they possibly could. They delayed Pam Bondi's confirmation as long as they possibly could. Why did they do that? Neither of those confirmations were in doubt. Why did they do it? They were playing for time, you see. They were busy taking care of things. So back to what we talk about. I'm really happy we got some child sex predators off the street. I am. I hope it's not 4 years of this. Tossing me a little red meat morsel you know I'll cheer about when it's government people I want to see. Call me when it's a press conference for 205 FBI agents who've been arrested. I hate when my back hurts. I despise it. You have back pain? Knee pain, foot pain? These are things that plague people. You know what has changed my life when it comes to that stuff? Shoes. Finally started listening to all those people. Now, you need better shoes, you need better shoes. That's what Gravity Defier is all about. G-Defy, if you will. They're special shoes with this special technology that absorbs all that shock, all that impact. You're walking on the concrete, on the hard floor. Your knees are taking all that. Your back is taking all that. That's why you hurt at the end of the day. Get some G-Defy shoes in your life, and that's all you'll have. You'll never have anything else, whether you're standing, walking, whatever you're doing. Your feet feel so much better. Your knees feel so much better. Here's what you need to do. Text Jesse to 9188. Jesse to 9188. We'll be back.
What do you make of that? That he's just been a little less visible than I think a lot of people, Trump observers, expected he would be.
Yeah, well, reportedly he's been visible at nightclubs far more than he has been on the seventh floor of the Hoover building. And there are reports that daily briefings to him have been changed from every day to maybe twice weekly.
A few moments later.
And now let's circle back to a segment from Friday's show. Frank Figliuzzi was on that morning during this hour discussing the work of administration officials. At the end of that segment, Figliuzzi said that FBI Director Kash Patel has reportedly been more visible at nightclubs than at his office at FBI headquarters. This was a misstatement. We have not verified that claim. We will be right back.
Okay, well, first, it wasn't a misstatement. They lied. That guy came on the show and lied. This is yet another thing the communist does whenever he's caught. He tries to say it was a misstep, it was a mistake, it was a misstatement. That's a lie. That's what that's called. If your kids did it, you'd call them liars. Joining me now, Curtis Houck, managing editor of Newsbusters. Curtis, the media loves to do this, tell an outright lie, let it get around the world about 80 times, and then come out, well, I mean, there was a misstatement, just a little disclaimer 4 days ago. I'm sure that cleared the whole thing up. They lied. That's what they do.
Right, yeah, it's just like one of Frank Figliuzzi's other big things, which is saying that Trump was a Russian agent. You know, you say something for years and years and years, you let it get into the civic bloodstream, and then when facts show otherwise, there's no need to apologize. Or people have already settled on a particular narrative, or at least some people have, and then mission accomplished. That's exactly what we had here, although I did enjoy the kind of squirming by Jonathan Lemire, who is a snake. He's such a weasel, such a little twerp, which is why he fits in well as the host of Morning Joe's millionth hour, whatever that is. But notice that they made him do it. They didn't make Figliuzzi come back on and squeal and squirm. They let someone else do it. but it was also saying, please don't CNN us.
Curtis, is that what these media organizations are doing now when they have to add these disclaimers? We see The View has to do this about every 5 minutes. They'll tell some outright lie about somebody, and then they'll have to give a legal disclaimer on it now. That is just because we started suing, right?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what this is, Jesse. And I'm glad that we're in moving any direction back towards some accountability, but it's not about trust. And it's not that they actually feel sorry. They're just doing it because they don't want to get sued. Well, let's think about this. If you don't want to get sued, then maybe you shouldn't just make crap up on the spot. But that's who we're dealing with. Frank Figluzzi is a guy who is repeatedly referred to parents at school board organizations, school board meetings, as terrorists. He has said that they are a national security threat. This is the deep state gunk that we are dealing with as a country. He doesn't care about the average citizen. And to think for years, people like Frank Figluzzi were serving as FBI agents, as U.S. attorneys, that were arresting and putting people behind bars with these kinds of deep disgust and hatred for certain groups of Americans, you just wonder about what these agencies have been up to for all of these previous decades. But it's about time that just because Donald Trump came in, you know, now these media organizations are running scared. And because of the work of Zachary Young suing CNN for having ruined his life as a paramilitary contractor, we're starting to see some sort of a little bit inching back towards semblance of normalcy, but it cannot stop. You can't be satisfied. So whenever the 60 Minutes thing comes down for the Kamala Harris interview, another donation to the Trump Library, you can't just say that you're satisfied. People need to keep the boot on the throat.
Curtis, another person they keep lying about, they can't help themselves, is Pete Hegseth. This is very obviously something they're not going to let go, because it's not a 24-hour news cycle. They're on this, and they won't let off it. What do you make of their problem with Pete Hegseth?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, he's not a suit at the Pentagon who has spent years leaking to all of these sniveling reporters like Natasha Bertrand at CNN. You can tell that she has a personal animus against him, has gleefully been working publicly and probably privately behind the scenes to try and get rid of him. Because he, again, as he pointed out in his hearing, which I thought was a really, from an image standpoint, was good, have someone who has dust on their boots, who actually wasn't sitting in an air-conditioned room inside the green zone of Iraq, who actually was out, who actually saw battle, who was actually there with the rank and file, who was one of the rank and file. They can't stand that. And then, two, what he actually wants to do to get rid of this communist, anti-family nonsense out of the Pentagon, to actually enact standards for our military, that we are the strongest, most lethal fighting force known to man, that we can actually be that again. And so all of those things put together, just the hate from the press because he worked at Fox, and what he wants to do inside the Pentagon, plus just hating him because he's a Trump nominee, all of those things put together show that he probably is enemy number one, which... And we saw in our study with the network evening newscast, ABC, CBS, NBC, he was 100% negative, whereas the president was back at 92%. Elon Musk and RFK Jr. all well below that. There's a reason why he is more hated, depending on who you're listening to, than the president.
Yeah. Curtis, tell me about defunding NPR and PBS. What happened here?
Yeah, on Friday or late Thursday night, it was one of those things after 11 p.m. Eastern, the president sent out an executive order to basically defund PBS and NPR, and also direct other government agencies to cease funding these cease giving out grants like DHS, National Endowment for the Humanities, HUD, to give money to PBS and NPR. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting is this board that oversees them, and those seats are appointed by the president. They've since come out and said, we're an independent agency. Well, you're appointed by the president. You serve at the pleasure of the president, so screw off. But this is something that a Republican president should have done. You talk about this all the time, Jesse. Doing what you actually campaign on doing. And Republicans, this is one of many issues where they haven't shown a spine for decades, where they just said that they want to defund PBS and NPR. And then they don't actually do it because they get scared of, oh, you want to kill Big Bird or whatever crazy reason. Kids won't be able to read now or something like that. Well, the president actually had the stones to do something about it. Congress needs to now do something about it. Unfortunately, this is going to end up in the courts where, you know, these far-left judges, they're the ones that are carrying around the PBS and NPR tote bags when they do those funding pledges. These are the kind of people that call in. So it's going to be a fight all the way to the Supreme Court, I think, on this particular issue.
Every daggone thing. All right, which brings me to Jen Psaki, because Jen Psaki, she was talking about covering up Biden's decline and saying it's a cover-up is dangerous. Here she was.
I left in May of 2022, just for the facts here, and I have seen Biden once since then, when I took my daughter to the holiday party this last December after he had lost. And so I hadn't seen him in person during that period of time. I never saw that person, not a single time, and I was in the Oval Office every day that was on that debate stage. I'm not a doctor. Aging happens quite quickly. Cover-up is a very loaded term, I think.
Well, it means you knew that it was really bad and you're pretending otherwise versus you're deluding yourself, which I think is what people do a lot.
Well, I understand, but I still think it's like cover-up is often like a crime, right? We're talking, when people use that term.
They say it's worse than the crime.
People use that term as they relate to Watergate or the covering up of not sharing public information about a war.
Yeah, and I'm not accusing anybody of a crime.
I understand, but other people have used that term, and I think it's a bit of a dangerous term.
Yeah, they covered everything up, and Jen Psaki knew the entire thing. I know from my sources, and I don't have sources like you have, I know that she was actually frustrated they wouldn't let her see the president because he was so dementia-addled half the time.
Yeah, and I've heard as well that, you know, she definitely had some teeth. All those folks that are saying if you actually would try to report on the president, you would try to hold his feet to the fire on this issue or that issue. She was vehement in defending him or threatening reporters. So I would just say it's a very low bar, of course, Jesse, but she's a way better liar and more eloquent. She speaks in complete sentences compared to Karine Jean-Pierre, which is why I guess the last few years were just... You know, there's some dark gallows humor to what was going on. But with her, because she's so well-spoken, she's the epitome of the Karen who asks to speak to the manager because, you know, the $100 dinner is not exactly cooked the way it was shown on Instagram. You know, I think Karen is an overused term, but I think she is definitely the fit. She embodies that. She's the personification of that. I think back to a documentary at the end of the Obama years that CNN did. You know, they followed her on her way to the White House one day, and she was just like, well, I'm just a parent just like all of you. I sing the wheels on the bus go round and round with my kids, too. It was the biggest, single biggest, like, joke that I've ever seen in terms of someone in DC trying to relate to the American people. It just sticks with me years later because it was just so pathetic and insane. You know, this is who she is. And that's why Democrats hire her, administration after administration, position after position, because she's pretty good at it. But, you know, at this point, we know the truth about Biden when it comes to somebody as demented and struggling as he was. He truly cover that up and
Yeah. Plus, she had to call it a holiday party. These freaking people. Curtis, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.